Do you know, Adam, where we are? I don't know where we are. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Dushi. Dushi is a beautiful thing, okay? Dushi means, I'll tell you the whole story. So then it'll take 20 years to finish this book. The example in the Abhidharma Kosha is that what are the karmic implications if you decide to, and I apologize for the example, but it's not mine, okay? It's from the Abhidharma. You decide to murder someone in their sleep. So you take a knife and you walk into a bedroom and you see a form under the blankets and you stab it like 10 times and you throw the knife away and you run away. But the guy knew you were coming and he put all his pillows in a row and he covered it with a blanket and he's in the closet, you know. Then what kind of karma do you get? You see, that's a discussion in the Abhidharma. And they say it's not a leki lam. It's not a complete karma. Why? The dushi was mistaken. Dushi means how you conceive of the object towards whom you are doing the karma. Okay? In that example, your dushi was that it was a living being. But the reality was that it was a bunch of pillows. So if that's the case in the commission of a karma, it's not a complete karma. Okay? Why are we talking about that? We want to do the opposite. We want the karma. We want to have a perfect dushi so that our karmas ripen faster, you know. So I'll challenge you to come up with a better dushi of the old lady in the nursing home. I'm open to suggestions. Yeah. He said she represents all beings. I would correct that to she is. I mean, whatever you do to her is going to multiply to all living creatures because of the boyfriend revolution principle. So don't think of her as a simple old person. Don't think of her that way. Because if you do, you limit the scene. You know, I like the example of the pen. You all know the pen thing. I had to do it on a video today. It was so difficult. To do it the 100,000th time, but it's good. What is this to a dog? It's a chew toy. What is this to a human? It's a pen. But what we don't often point out is that to a Dharma revolutionary, this is a sword. This will change the world. This little thing, I could change 1.2 billion people in China with this thing. You know, I mean, if you really had an elevated state of consciousness, you'd be like, in Tibet, you're not allowed to put a pen on the floor. And you're not allowed to step over a pen. In fact, it's a tantric, you break a tantric vow if you step over a pen or a scripture. Why? Because this can change the world. You can change the world with a pen. So you have to honor pens. You're not allowed to put a pen in the garbage. There are special depositories for holy objects in Tibet. You have to go down the street to your tsatsakang, which is a little adobe garbage bin, and you throw your pens in there because they're too holy to throw in the garbage. Okay, got it? It's very interesting. You don't throw holy things into the garbage, even if they're out of ink. Okay, so the dushi of the old lady, right? Why not think of her as, yeah, or an angel? Yeah. Functionally, she is. You see, how you feel about her, how she looks to you, could be one thing, right? But functionally, she's the right person in the right time for you to change the world. That makes her an angel. Okay? She may not look like one or act like one, but functionally, she's going to help you change the world. Okay? If you think of her that way from the beginning, which I'm trying to get you to grasp, it doesn't cost you anything. It's no effort, right? It's just a little change in how you view her. Then your karma will ripen like a billion times faster and bigger. And you'll be in China talking to 1,000 people. You know, it's weird. Weird stuff will happen. Okay? So think like that. Don't think small. This is not an old lady in a nursing home. You know, she was put here by deities for me to interact with so that I could change the world, because that's my mission. What do you call it? That's why I was born here. Like, hopefully it's occurred to everybody in the room to wonder why you were put here. at some point in your life, probably when you were 16, and not too much since then, you're like wondering, why me? You know, why am I supposed to do here? And the answer is, you're supposed to save the world. Each person here is supposed to save the world. Yes, but there's only one world. Duh. Okay. You save your version of the world, I'll save my version of the world. There's lots of worlds, countless, okay? You were put here, you were born here to change the world. If you grasp what's going on in these classes, the power. You have been given the power. Spider-Man had to get what? How to get this power? He got bitten by a radioactive spider. I read all the comic books a long time ago. So we don't have superpowers. You're like, okay, why was I born here? I have an instinct that I'm supposed to do something to save the world. And I would like to save the world, but I don't have any superpowers. In these classes, you are being granted superpowers. The spider is biting you. Okay? It just bit you, actually. And you won't know for a while, or it won't come out for a while. Okay? He didn't discover his powers until he had to jump off a building and this sticky stuff came out of his head. And it takes a while. You don't realize. It's true. Something will happen, and you'll be put in a situation, and you'll see that you have the power. Okay? So now you have the power to be someone who changes the world. You know, I grew up in the Christian church, and I loved the Christian church, and Jesus was very much, I admired Jesus, and the priests in my particular church were extraordinary. They were incredible. Fine people and extraordinary beings. And, you know, I was always, these were my role model, you know, like I wanted to be like them. I was an altar boy for 12 years, so I got to hang out with them in the back, and they were like unbelievable, beautiful, intelligent, devoted, extraordinary people, you know. And somewhere down inside, you want to be Jesus, right? I'm telling you that. You want to be. You would like to be. There's something inside of you that says you will be that, and you will be, because you have knowledge that will help you save worlds, okay? Not just one world, okay? There will come a time in your meditation when you will see other worlds, and you will see how you will help them, okay? And that's a very sweet thing to happen in your life, to see it, right? Okay. All right. Tell me again where we are. Oh, we're on Yomong. Okay, we finished Duxie. Kunlong is, you know, conceive of the situation. Your motivation should be, I'm changing the world, when you visit the old lady. The Duxie is, don't think of her as a normal person. That's a mistake. She's not, okay? I'm not saying pretend that she's special. She is special. I proved it. If you interact with her correctly, you will change the world. That makes her divine. So don't underestimate her, okay? Anybody, okay? Where? Then the third thing is nyomo. What's nyomo? What's the Sanskrit? Klesha, okay? Which is the subject of the second chapter of the Yoga Sutra also, right? Avidyasmita ragadvesha avinivesha klesha. Sometimes the scripture says pancha klesha. There's two versions. Klesha means a mental affliction. So in the study of karma, they approach it from a negative viewpoint. And I don't do that. I like to approach it from a positive viewpoint. Rather than telling people, don't kill, I would rather say, protect life. To me, it's a lot. You get a lot more mileage out of me if you make it positive. My boss at the Diamond Company used to scream at me, you have to work late. I'd say, no, I have to go to class. Every night I had to go to class. Rinpoche would hold the class. If the bus went late, he would hold the class. and I would rush down. I ran to the bus station, and then I'd do class, you know. But he would get mad at me, threaten me, and all this stuff, and I'd say, okay, I'm leaving, you know. Then one night, he'd like called me in at 5 o'clock, and he's like, Mike, you know, the company needs you, you know. So, you're the only man who can do it, you know. This order that we got to get out by midnight tonight, you know, you're the only one who really can pull it together, you know. And I'm like, I'm here for you. You know, so I mean, rather than saying, don't kill, say, put it positively, you know, protect life, okay? So, unfortunately, in the Abhidharma, they present karma in a negative way. So nyomong in this case means, what high feeling or emotion do you approach the old lady with? You see, the example in the scripture, the word is nyomong, or negative emotion, but the meaning is, how high of a feeling of joy can you have as you approach her, as you reach the nursing home? I don't know about you, like I go to the prison that Jeff Eddie goes to all the time. What do you call that? I make photo op appearances at the prison, you know, click, click, and then I'm gone, you know. He goes every week, and Nick, those guys, they actually take care of the prisoners. But I find it difficult to be there. It's hard for me to be there. I like to do the good deed, and I'm not afraid of the prison, although there have been some incidents, but I just feel overwhelmed by it. It gives me like a headache afterwards. It's so much suffering. Like I can't, it's hard for me to be there. And I can't really, I'd rather talk to 1,000 people in Beijing and have them applaud, you know, than, so I can do those good deeds, but it's hard for me. And I don't approach it with a sense of high joy. Normally I'm like, okay, I'll come, you know, because I feel obligated. But the point of nyomong is that if you can find some kind of feeling of joy about visiting the old person, you know, if I tell you, will you donate $35 to the project to save the Tibetan scriptures, then people will say, yeah, okay. And they'll kind of, it's like pulling teeth. And then if I say, we're going to, what's that cafe on Camelback in Central Johnny-O? St. Francis Cafe for brunch on Sunday, and they're playing jazz. But it's $50. Everyone's like, I got it. I got $50. And that's reversed, okay? That the nyomong, the emotion about going to the prison should be the same as hearing the jazz at the Sunday morning brunch at St. Francis. I can't say I'm there yet, okay? I still really enjoy that brunch. Have you ever been there? The jazz is really good. It's Sunday. It goes from 11 to 2 or something like that. I have a dream of playing there with Mercedes and other friends. Anyway, so nyomong means approach it with a sense of joy as you would a brunch on Sunday with your friends to hear the jazz, okay? And then the karma is much stronger. Now, to answer Tim's question, of those three, which one is more powerful, do you think? Kunlong, Dushi, or Nyomong? The motivation, the intention, or the perception, or the feeling? It's the intention, okay? It's the intention. I want to save the world. I want to get a boyfriend and thereby save the world, okay? You got to think like that. Don't think either or. Don't think, I'm going to be spiritual and not have a boyfriend and save the world. Unfortunately, you always get them together. And if you watched, what's that called? Transformers, you would know. Okay. He always gets the girl. He gets a Camaro. And he saves the world. And he's done it 3 times. And it's not like you have to give up the girl or the car to save the world. It's always a package, okay? You might as well go for the big time because the little stuff comes. In Tibet, they say when you plant corn, you get weeds also. So don't worry about it. The girl and the Camaro will come. Work on the world, you know, because they always come in the same package, okay? So what I assert to Tim is that if I collected karma by helping an elderly person at the nursing home and I wish to redirect it to financial prosperity so I could help more people, the intention to help the world would be the same. It's the same action in a different package. Zechik dopatade. What's that, Mercedes? That's a polite way to say it, yeah. Zechik dopatade is an old logic term, but it means different manifestations of the same Jungian archetype. And one day I was in a 7-Eleven with my Lama, and he said, let's go, I'm really hungry, you know, and he looks around, and he takes each package up, and he's like, oh, what's in it? Let's check what's in it before we eat it, because he had diabetes, and he's like 90% corn syrup, 20% wheat. I can't eat that. And then he like picks up five things, and he's like, God, this stuff is all Zechik dopatade. The same crap in different packages. And everything in the 7-Eleven is the same stuff. And it's the same corn syrup and flour in a different wrapper. And why did I talk about that? Yeah, the intention is the same. So I assert that you can redirect the karma. And that's the end of the answer. Thank God. Okay. Yay, okay. But by the way, I wanted you to learn how to make your seeds more powerful, because that's what this whole course is about, okay? If by next year you don't have your dream come true, it's not my fault, okay? I always wanted to see China change. And everybody wanted to fight with China and punish them for their past crimes, and I was always thinking, why can't we just all be all cool together, you know? Like, anyway, here we go. Number six, I think, yeah. We were talking about karmic imprints that are created by each of the seven limbs. We are on number six. Nyangen le min dawar suwan depe. If you ask your lama not to pass away from this world, the word is nirvana, right? And the euphemism in scripture is that the Lama passed into nirvana. And that's a euphemism for dying, right? And people take it that way. But this is literal. It means a real Lama doesn't have a physical form, and they're just manifesting from some paradise, and they can withdraw that anytime. So you have to ask them not to. Okay? Suman depe. Kutse ringzin nam. Dorje ku nye padang. Say ringzin. Ringzin is a weird word. It means, it's very common in other traditions of Tibet, like the Kagyu. Ringzin means knowledge holder or something like that. But it means to have a special tantric skill or something like that. Here, kutse. What's kutse? Kutse means the life. It's you have a tantric power over your life force. It meaning you can live as long as you want. Nagarjuna lived, I think, 900 years. And he was an alchemist, and he was the greatest emptiness teacher of his time, and like that, okay? So you have that power. And Dorje Ku means, Nyepa means to find or to gain the diamond body, okay? Meaning indestructible. That's also in the Yoga Sutra. I forget what they call it. It says like a diamond, a body like a diamond, okay? Cannot be destroyed. Diamond is a corruption of adamas. It was supposed to be a diamond. Diamond was cut short. The word was truncated from a diamond, which came from Greek adamas, which means indefeatable, adamantine. And damayanti means in Sanskrit to overcome somebody or overwhelm somebody. So adamas means, diamond means that thing which cannot be destroyed. And that's what the diamond body is, the body of immortality. How do you get that? Ask your lama not to pass away. Okay. Ask them to stay. Okay. All right. Number 7. Ngoi sangye ki yenden chi tope langje jong. When you dedicate, okay, then the imprint, right, on your consciousness is all of the good qualities of a Buddha. Okay. Like that's a, what do you call it? Catch all karma. Okay. All right. Sun dev ki mandal di yar jarwa dang mar chepe luk ni yokyang. When you do the supplication at step number 6, right? The general step number 6, okay? You can, there's two ways of connecting it to the other link, other limbs, the other parts, okay? One says you should join it to the previous part, and one says you should join it to another part, okay? Marchepe lugni yakyang, yar jarwa chak shiki gyunyin. So should you, I'm sorry, the mandala in which you make a request for help, should you connect it with the request to teaching, or should you connect it to the request to stay? And here it says to the request to teach. Okay. So that's why we do this mandala thing when you ask someone to teach. Okay. In the old days, you had to pay a bag of gold dust for these teachings. Each teaching. Which meant the teacher had a lot more free time. But it's become a custom in Tibet to offer the world perfected, the perfected world, mandala, okay, mandala, which comes from, which came into Spanish as mundo, the world, okay, and came into English as mundane, meaning worldly, okay, they all come from Sanskrit, mandala. It's a tradition to offer the world in exchange for a teaching, and you don't offer the world in its current condition, okay? You offer it after the boyfriend revolution, the world as it will be after the boyfriend revolution, okay? What's it look like? Long lines outside of nursing homes, you know, demanding an old woman, you know? Do you, I need one. I gotta have one. They're all booked up, honey. Come back next week. Maybe I can get you in. Okay. You laugh because it's not the case now. Nobody wants to go to a nursing home. They're dirty. They stink of urine. The people there are moaning and unhappy. And those things will change. Those days will change. There will be lines outside of nursing homes, and old people will all be dressed up and eating popcorn at the movies. Okay. All right. Yar jawa chakshik union. Dini gyalpo chenbi dun du dun kel chen chik shuna bulwa du chewa shik mundu pu. Gopatar. So it's a custom, especially in Asia, when you approach a powerful person, a politician or an emperor or a judge, that you give a gift in advance. You should offer a gift. You don't go to a court case without sending a gift to the judge first. At least if you want a chance of winning. So, you know, this was the tradition. So he's saying, if you're going to ask your teacher for something valuable, you should offer something valuable before the teaching. And that's a mandala. Okay. There are two mandalas, by the way. One is the request for teaching. You offer the world. And technically, a Buddhist teacher, a good lama, is not allowed to teach unless you ask. We're not allowed to proselytize. Okay. We're required to wait until you offer the whole world. And then we say, yeah, okay. Okay. And then there's a Tangrak mandala. Say Tangrak. Tangrak. Tangrak mandala means after the teaching, you should offer another mandala as a thank you. It's called a thank you mandala. So that's why we do a mandala before and after. The first one is a bribe. The second one is a thank you. Okay. All right. Chingundupu. Shugubitar. Rangre nam tsokshing na dun kel shindu chewasum shugupe dun du mandal buwien. Therefore, we offer a mandala to the tsokshing, right? The lineage, the lamas of the lineage. So Nick is going to do a small class on the lineage lamas. And there's a huge poster that you saw last time. We borrowed it from Diamond Mountain and we broke the glass and it was kind of difficult to get it borrowed again. And we fixed it, but it was really expensive because it's big. But it's a visual representation of all the lamas who have passed down this knowledge in the last 2,500 years, okay? And there are different lineages, and they stack them on top of each other. So on one side are all the lamas of the emptiness teachings, and then on another side are all the lamas of the compassion teachings. And in the center are five different lineages of the secret teachings. And so when we offer a mandala in your mind, you can offer it to all these lineage lamas. We're very big on lineage, okay? In Sanskrit, what's it called? Do you know? Parampara, right? Parampara. Like at the beginning of the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, we memorized it in 3-year retreat. Three quarters of it before we ran out of time. But they'll actually, the first wording of the whole sutra is who taught it? Where did it come from? What's the lineage? So in Asia, that's considered very important, that you establish that what you're learning has an authentic lineage. Otherwise, you shouldn't waste your time on it. If this is something that somebody made up last week, somebody was trying to convince me to study psychology. I said I did that. In college, I was supposed to be a psychology major. I quit after the first semester. They said, "Why'd you quit?" I said, "I went to Princeton. They brought down the best psychologists from New York City, and each one gave a presentation every week. And this lady came down, and her hand was shaking like that. I never forget this, 4 inches here. And she was telling us about how to be happy and how to control your mind and how to treat sick people. And his coffee was spilling out. And I quit. I quit. On that day, I quit. And go for something that has a decent lineage, that's not like last week's bestseller, that they suddenly discovered something that no one figured out for 2,500 years. And that's going to be for sale at Barnes & Noble's discount table for 45 cents next week. You know that's how it goes. Everyone's like, "Oh, this is it. This is the book. You got to read this book." People give me those books. Like, I have piles of them. And, I don't want to look at them. Give me a book that has a lineage. Give me a book that's helped people for 2,000 years. That's the only ones I'm interested in, frankly. So anyway, we set great importance in lineage. Okay, in an authentic lineage. So in this part of the practice, you are asking the lamas of the lineage for their help, and you're offering a mandala. Okay, that mandala has 3 goals. So I'm about to give you 3 goals. And by the way, I'm just going straight through to 10, okay? Is that okay? That's 10, right? Okay. I'll give you the 3 goals. Den chembo sumni. Here there are three great goals of offering a mandala. Se ringwa da ne mepatabu rang dun shikla miserki. Praying for something for yourself, such as to live a long life free of illness, is not included. He sets that out first. He says, that's not a great purpose. Okay, I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about number one. Shenian nama gubas or chinji loki lona gakpe dun chik. May I never have a really bad thought. May I never develop really wrong attitudes and then live by them for years. Okay? That's called lona. And he gives an example. Shinin Lama Kupa, okay? May I never develop the very destructive attitude of disrespecting my teacher, okay? So once you take a teacher, you shouldn't take a teacher easily. A yoga teacher you can do, a Tai Chi teacher you can do, a pottery teacher you can do, piano teacher you can do, but a Dharma teacher, you shouldn't commit to them for a long time. And you should check them out. You should, investigate their life. Talk to their students. Talk to the people who don't like them. Find out everything about them. Dig into their life. And then go to a lot of their classes. And as I mentioned a couple of days ago, the tradition in Tibet was up to 12 years. To check them out for up to 12 years. And then commit to be their student, their disciple. So the relationship between a disciple and a real lama is much more serious than a marriage or something like that. It's a multi lifetime thing. Your mind streams will be joined for thousands of lifetimes. So you don't enter that relationship lightly, okay? And our relationship is, I see it as, I'm just teaching you. Some of you want to be my particular disciple. That's fine. We can negotiate. But I encourage you to find the teacher that fits you. Teachers are like gloves. And I encourage you to find the one that fits your personality and fits your hopes and dreams and check them out and be very critical and careful. And then ask them to marry you, right? But after that, you can't disrespect them, okay? You have to show them high respect. That's just, or else your whole life will be ruined, okay? It's better not to have ever met them if you ever come to disrespect them, okay? All right, number two. Chinjin, so the first reason for offering your mandala is, may I never have such thoughts. Okay. Number two. Chinjin ma lope lo tada kewa dun chik. Secondly, may I have all healthy thoughts. Okay, I offer a mandala in the hopes that I may have all beautiful and healthy thoughts. And then the third purpose of offering a mandala is Chi Nangi Parche Shiva. Shiva means what? Shanti, shanti, shanti. Yeah. By the way, that shanti, shanti, shanti repeated three times is from an Upanishad. And it's so when you do it in a yoga class, it's actually got a very ancient sources, and it was meant with regard to the three forms of suffering. May they be put to rest, shanti, shanti, shanti. What are the three forms of suffering? Number one, outright suffering. Okay, headaches, backaches, breakups with your partner. Okay, those are suffering number one. Suffering number two. Yeah, suffering and change. What's the classical example in the scripture of the suffering and change? A delicious meal at an expensive restaurant. Okay, why? Because you'll get hungry again. And you'll poop it out. Okay, in the end, it's just another kind of suffering in a different package. Anything that turns bad is bad at the beginning also. It's not real happiness. Okay. Got it? Okay, what's the third one? Yeah, kyapa dicheki dunya. Yeah, the fact of being mortal, the fact of having to die, lose everything you had. So when you say shanti, shanti, shanti in a yoga class, traditionally it was meant to address those three. May those three be stopped, okay? All right, so that's Shiva. Parche means obstacles, okay? You know, I spent, I don't know, I'm going to brag about our trip to Asia, but frankly, the first 2 hours in the Singapore trip were spent at the Coffee Bean on Orchard Road, listening to the board of directors of the Singapore group, you know, fight it out with each other about, you know, how difficult things had been. Not really. I mean, they love each other. They're like a family that, you know, squabbles. Then I went to Malaysia, and the Malaysia team asked me, could we have a meeting? And it was a repeat, exact repeat. And then it's happened in other, it happens in every country, actually. So don't think you're special. Why? Why do personality conflicts come up in Dharma groups? Because you're trying to do something important. And there are negative spirits in the world, and they will affect your thinking. They will enter your thinking, and they will affect it. So as long as you keep your head down and just watch videos and work quietly to get a little house so when you die, you can lose it all, the demons are like, leave them alone, you know. But the minute you try to organize a talk in Mexico City and, you know, you were having a nice, quiet life in Tepoztlán and, you know, meditating fine and doing your yoga, and then suddenly you decide to help do a big talk, and then suddenly there's all these problems. That's the dynamic of any Dharma thing. Okay, anytime you try to do something to help a lot of people, obstacles will come. And the bigger the help, the greater the obstacles. And just get used to it, you know. And you have to become like a diamond. You have to become, okay, I'm doing this thing, okay. What was that? John Brady brought, when the Diamond Cutter came out in America, he had his car filled with all the books. He was headed towards Barney's old building, which is where the Rubin Museum is now, to have the book release, and he got in a car accident. And then Dr. Taylor brought all the release for ACIP books to Washington for the release party. Those things cost, the whole project cost $800,000. He had, this is to save the ancient books, he had all the catalogs in the back of his car. And someone put he asked them to move them to a car. They were supposed to put them in his trunk, and they put them in the wrong car's trunk. And they all disappeared. No one ever called us. Or somebody unloaded 50 boxes of books and threw them out, you know? And it was incredibly expensive for us. I mean, these are typical of Dharma. Once you're going to do something important, then just expect parche. The third important goal of offering a mandala is that to prevent, he calls it inner and outer obstacles, okay? Car accidents with the books in the car. Inner obstacles are you start to have doubts, you know? I was happy in Tepoztlán. I was just meditating, doing my yoga. I didn't have to deal with all this crap, you know, about renting a venue and so-and-so can't register, but they want me to drive them. And, you know, there's no money. And okay, that's an inner obstacle. Okay, so when you offer a mandala, you can think that those obstacles are being beaten back. Beaten back means they're going to come back. And if you're going to get into the Dharma business, get used to it. Okay, because the more people you help, the greater the obstacles will become, and they will become serious, very serious. And you just got to be determined. You can roll over and start watching videos again all day, or you can just keep going. I prefer to keep going, okay? Because that's all there is to do, actually, okay? All right, last thing. Yeah.
Why are these obstacles not coming from the demons and not from us?
Oh, the demons come from us. They're coming from demons. The obstacles are coming from demons who come from us. Right. That's true. I would say a lot of it might be competitiveness or jealousy of people who are trying to undertake good things that are looking better than us. And we get jealous or we feel competitive. And then because of that, when we try to do something important, demons are born from that karma. And they hurt us. Okay. Okay, they're us. They come from us. Nakten jarnyen jarna shenyen lama gopane sungde nongche topsum. Ki ni nang tama parke shejar. So when they talk about obstacles or wrong thoughts in the jorcha, what's jorcha? Jorcha is a general name for the six preparations for a meditation session, preliminary practices. But it's also the name of a genre of literature. So they write books about these six practices. There's a very famous one called Kelsam Dingyen, which means a necklace to adorn the throats of those with high good karma. And we're going to study it. That's our next retreat, okay? Or Phoenix, okay? We'll be studying the necklace. You know, why they call it a necklace? It means when you sing that ritual, it's as if you're wearing a necklace, a diamond necklace, okay? So he will refer to that text a lot in this text, and because it was written by one of his teachers. So, and we memorize it in the monastery. Anyway, we're going to study that, and it's extremely beautiful. Rinpoche made us memorize it before he would teach us Tantra. So, Ngaktan Jhana Shenya Namakapane. So if you're going to do, Ngaktan Jhana means to give you the Tantric version. Ngak means Tantra. It literally means what? Mantra, right? Tantra and mantra are synonyms, okay? So in the secret teachings, he says, what are the obstacles that could come? He gives a range of obstacles, okay? From this to that, okay? What's the range? Starting with Shenyin Namakopa, starting with disrespecting your teacher, okay? And ranging all the way up to, and I split it by a comment that I was working on, so don't try to read that. Ni nang tamo. What's ni nang mean? Ni nang. Anybody know? Ni nang. It's duality, okay? Duality. Tamo means extremely subtle, okay? So there's an experience in the final stages of enlightenment, okay? In the last final steps before enlightenment, before your body transforms into a Buddhist body, there's a tiny obstacle inside your mind, okay? Extremely tiny. And it's connected even to the process of death, okay? And you have to overcome this extremely, infinitely subtle obstacle to make it through death to Buddhahood. And that obstacle is called Nang Che Top Sum. Say Nang Che Top Sum. The process of breaking through it is called Nang Che Top. Breaking through those subtle obstacles. And that's a very high tantric teaching. Nang means a illumination like a lamp. Che means, no, it's a very unusual word. It means proliferation. For example, if you light one of these pine trees and then a very heavy wind comes and it goes whoosh, and it suddenly becomes a forest fire with thousands of trees. That's called che. Okay. Illumination, sudden expansion of illumination, and then a blinking out of existence. So these are three very high stages of Tantra. And within those stages are the most subtle obstacles of all. And they are tiny, tiny, tiny. They are atomic obstacles. So he's saying from the big ones to the subtle ones, what's the biggest one? Disrespecting your teacher. What's the subtle one? The thing that keeps you from enlightenment in the last few milliseconds of your practice. The obstacles that hold you back in the last few milliseconds of your spiritual career, which has lasted for millions of years. Okay. The last few seconds of a million year practice, okay? And that's a very interesting subject. Now, normally we're not supposed to teach that, but since he mentioned it, I thought Venerable Phil could explain it to us. So when he gets back from his trip, towards the end of the week, I asked him to give you a lecture about it, okay? Because he has studied that nicely. Okay, so he'll talk about those subtle obstacles. Okay, he asked me how much detail can I say. I think you should follow your feeling. But I think if people made it this far, and he mentioned it, probably you can talk some detail about it. Okay, that's my answer to your question. You ready? Shibuki Joshimeto Tam Rira Bingshi Ninde Genpadi Sangye Shindu Migde Uagi Joku Namda Shinna Chepasho Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kamriya Dayami Digevokun Sunam Yeshe Tzotokshin Sunam Yeshe Nechume Gampakunin